Welcome to Cross Body of Work. My name is Evan.
I am Kurt Angle.
You are not Kurt Angle. You don't have the three eyes.
Yes, but I am an Austrian skier.
Yes, we were just talking before we started recording about how Wikipedia, when you go to Kurt Angle, it says not to be confused with Kurt Angle, E-N-G-L, who is an Austrian skier. We are not confused. We're talking about Kurt Angle, the Olympic hero, the amazing professional wrestler. Three-part series.
Yes, but now that that's out of the way, my name is Javier. Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah. For those who don't know, it's like, he said he was Kurt Angle, and that doesn't sound like Kurt Angle. That doesn't sound like the Kurt I know.
I'm also, Kurt Angle.
You think we can get Kurt on the pod? You know how much I'd
definitely get the Austrian skier.
I mean, I'm going to quickly check to see if he's alive. He is.
Oh, that would be... Okay, well, yeah, we could easily get him. Yeah, I'll just fool him into thinking that I'm Apollo Ono or something.
It's me. I can't think of a ski. Lindsey Vonn is the only skier I could think of.
It's me, Lindsey Vonn.
It's me, PK Subban. I don't even think they're together anymore. This is off the fucking rails. We're talking about Kurt Angle this week. I'm going to talk about Kurt Angle to start because he is my favorite professional wrestler.
Go on.
And it's because he's the most complete wrestler I think I've ever seen. In terms of when I look at a wrestler, what I want in a wrestler is you, obviously, it's the in-ring skill, the technician, that work, which Kurt has in spades, obviously. And there might be nobody who's picked it up faster than Kurt Angle. We'll talk about that because we're talking about his start this week. There's also the ability to do a little bit of everything. Kurt can be an absolute dick heel. He can be a dork heel, as we've seen at the very beginning of his run. He can do comedy. He can be deadly serious. You can get the crowd behind him. He can play all of the roles you need. And I just, every time when I was watching when I was growing up, if Kurt Angle was on the screen, I was paying attention. I thought he was the best. There also is, of course, the fact that he is what brought Team Angle onto the scene, aka World's Greatest Tag Team, aka one half being my favorite wrestler, Shelton Benjamin.
I thought you were going to say Charlie Haas.
Hey, I also love for Charlie. Big love for Charlie Haas. Maybe we can get Charlie Haas on here.
We probably could.
What's Charlie on this? Yeah.
Probably not much.
But Kurt Angle, an immense talent. And this week, we're really just focusing on his early WWE run. We're going to take it all the way from his debut to WrestleMania 19, 2003. So about 4 years worth of stuff. And so many bangers of matches, it was hard to pick.
Yes, it really was. I mean, just the first year alone, it's one of the best first years ever.
I said, is that the best rookie year of all time?
I think he was dethroned by AJ Styles, personally.
That's fair.
I would also take the argument for Brock and Ronda, but I do believe Kurt Angle is easily top.
I know Ronda's rookie year was great. Something about just her, just sour taste in the mouth. It colors the way that I look at it.
Let's
I
be nice.
I know it was good. Nice. But like, yeah, no. Let's get all the housekeeping stuff out of the way. Wherever you're listening, be sure to follow, rate, and subscribe. Make sure you give us that 5-star rating. Helps out tremendously. Tell a friend. You probably know somebody who likes Kurt Angle or wrestling or America. And you should tell them to listen to this episode because, God damn it, we're talking about an American hero. He's the truth.
Okay. All right, King.
You should also check out the merch table, fullpressshop.com, and be sure to follow Full Press Wrestling on Twitter at FPC_wrestling. Check out fullpresswrestling.com. All the links for all of our matches, always there. Every Saturday morning, that's where it is. Check it out like your cartoons first thing in the morning. Also, we're recording this before the Easter long weekend. Happy Easter to those who celebrate. That's a big thing. Happy Passover. I believe Passover's this weekend. Happy Hindu New Year this weekend. Happy Ramadan. It continues on this month. Everybody celebrating. Lots to celebrate.
Hey, inshallah.
Yeah, lots to celebrate. Things are going good. I feel like it's weird to say, what do you know about Kurt Angle? What's the story of Kurt Angle, Javier?
What don't I know about Kurt Angle?
Yeah, what's this man like?
I mean, we're only, basically Kurt year one through Brock feud. So, I mean, we may as well just tackle that. I mean, before anything, 1996, Atlanta Olympics.
Yep.
Man wins with a broken freaking neck.
Yes, fractured two of his cervical vertebrae, herniating two discs, and pulling four muscles during the Olympic trials. Decided to rest and rehabilitate by the Olympics. Was able to compete, and he won in the heavyweight division, defeating Iranian Abbas Jadidi by official's decision. Kurt Angle bringing the gold home in Atlanta.
Ooh.
Yeah, good for Kurt. Good for Kurt. He does also say that in the fall of 96, he temporarily became addicted to Vicodin after injuring his neck, which did lead to a long-term issue with prescription pills and yes, things like that. But
we will get to that, we'll cover that in a later episode.
Let's go from the beginning to the Olympic trials. Kurt Angle, born in Mount Lebanon in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, graduated with a degree in education in 93, two-time NCAA Division I champ from Clarion University of Pennsylvania, three-time All-American. The man was a machine. He just knew he was able to wrestle at all times, a wrestling machine. You know, he trained for the Summer Olympics under Dave Schultz at the Pennsylvania Foxcatcher Club. Any of that sound familiar to you? Ever see Foxcatcher?
Yes, I do know very much about Foxcatcher. I know about Foxcatcher. I know what it's the movie with Channing Tatum, obviously.
Yeah.
My boy, what the fuck was his name? The UFC fighter.
Oh, I'm not sure.
Keep him moving. I'll find him.
January 96, not long after Angle began training at the Foxcatcher Club, Dave Schultz's coach was murdered by John DuPont, who was the sponsor of the team. As a result, Angle quit the team, searched for new sponsors, and joined the Dave Schultz Wrestling Club in his honor. We talked about the Olympics and how he won the gold medal. He then became a hot commodity in the wrestling world. He was offered a contract by the WWF. He declined. He thought that wrestling was campy. He thought it was not great. He was convinced in October 96 to go to an ECW show by other Pittsburgh native Shane Douglas. And he went to High Incident. He gave an in-ring interview and provided guest commentary during a match between Taz and Little Guido, but left the building because ECW that night pulled some ECW shit. You know what they did? Do you remember what they did?
I forget. What'd they do?
Raven crucified a bleeding Sandman on a cross using barbed wire. And Kurt Angle said,
"Yep.
Fuck this. I am out of here. Don't you use my name. Don't air my shit. I'm out of here."
Also, Mark Kerr. Mark Kerr is what I was thinking of.
For those who were wondering, keeping score at home, Mark Kerr.
Yes, Mark Kerr, Mark was, what Kerr I
was the answer.
Former UFC heavyweight.
Kurt Angle would eventually come around to the idea of becoming a wrestler. He said that his opinion on wrestling changed. He became obsessed with Attitude Era vignettes and things like that. He realized it was world-class athletes doing very athletic things and was signed to a five-year deal in August 1998.
What do you think? He was watching S.A. Rios and was like, "I like the gist of this guy.
This Takamichinoku kid can go."
Yeah.
We are looking at his debut first. It is Survivor Series 1999. Stone Cold is going to get hit with a car later. That's fun.
And Rikishi's going to do it for The Rock.
Did it for The Rock. I did it for the people. It is his debut against Sean Stasiak. It's Meat.
Ah, yes. I only called him Meat. He's in this episode twice. This is the first of the bunch.
He's in this episode twice, which I did not expect.
Yeah, and I just called him Meat both times.
I remember seeing Meat. That sounds like a fucking terrible sentence. I remember seeing Sean Stasiak being called Meat with Pretty Mean Sisters, PMS, right?
Yep.
And I was like, I remember not understanding what was so funny about all this, but my brother's friends all laughed a lot, and I was like, I guess this is funny. So I was like, that's
Meat.
It's Meat. Meat with PMS. But no, he's Sean Stasiak here, and we're looking at the debut. Pure babyface Kurt Angle to start, using the same theme that the Patriot and Sergeant Slaughter had used, and he would make famous. It's his theme now.
You suck.
You suck.
You suck.
What did you think of the match?
I mean, it's pretty straightforward as far as, you know, I feel like debut matches all tend to go this way. They showcase a little bit of your set up offense, which Kurt did here. We got a little bit of of what he was about early on here with the amateur wrestling stuff. You know, nice crisp fireman carry to start the match. He does a nice headlock takeover, waist lock takedown. Front.
I will say, JR and King do a very good job on commentary explaining how Angle has a different, more grounded style. Like, they make no bones about it. Like, they do a really good job of it. If you were just brand new Survivor Series, first thing you see, you understand this guy a little bit more coming in.
And I would also like to say that for wrestling of the time period, it was, like, nothing that was out there. Yeah. Especially in the WWF. There was nobody like Kurt out there in WWF. And honestly, I mean, it's, if you take it from the wrestling of nowadays, I'm pretty sure like 75% of the guys on in any company could do that.
Have this whole moveset. Yeah.
Just like grappling, all this stuff, you know, it's just stuff they teach you nowadays because it's good fucking wrestling.
It sure is.
But for 1999, when Kurt debuted, for him to be pulling this shit off against fucking Meat, it's kind of crazy, you know?
He hip tosses and scoop slams Meat. He also does one of his patented moves, especially early in his career, the overhead belly to belly. He would spam that early on in his career.
Yep. And then we get some offense here for Meat. Short close. He gets the advantage on a short clothesline.
Meat gets way more offense than I remember in this match.
I barely remember this match. This match was also longer than I remember it being.
In my head, Kurt like essentially just uses his wrestling ability, like his amateur wrestling ability to control Meat, gets the win. I know he knew he would talk on the outside. We'll talk about that in a sec. But there's a long stretch in here where Stasiak is getting legit offense in, like a sidewalk slam, a snap suplex. It's like, what the fuck's happening?
Yeah. He gets a jumping back elbow for a near fall.
Yeah.
A little down the line here, Kurt gets outside, grabs a mic, and tells the people, "You do not boo an Olympic gold medalist.
I came here for you. You do not boo me." Which, do you think that was planned ahead of time?
I want to believe that it was. I just know. I feel like just knowing the type of like person that Kurt Angle is, I really don't feel like that would have gotten to him.
I don't think it, but here's the thing. Do you think it was a call from the back? You know, Vince in the ref's ear.
Tell Kurt to go out in the moment?
Yeah. Like they're booing him. Tell him to go out there and say, "You don't boo a gold medalist." Like something.
Call from the back. I think it's very possible.
Because here's the thing. I think Vince looks at Angle and is like, you know, fucking pure white meat baby face. He's going to draw me $1 million to face. And then Detroit just boos him to death.
Yeah. Well, but that's more so because Detroit's a shitty place with shitty people.
I forgot that you hate Detroit. I forgot that.
And there's only one. There's two good things about Detroit. Cade Cunningham, Killian Hayes. After that, fuck Detroit.
I don't know why I thought you were about to say Eminem.
Not even that.
Angle then gets back in the ring, trying to be aggressive. Stasiak gets him with a shoulder block. We get a small package by Angle for a two. A couple right hands.
Nice power slam.
Stasiak has a fucking like half F5 looking.
That's exactly what I called it. Meat with a like half of F5.
An F2.5. I was so confused. So confused. Because it's just casually out of nowhere. Spinning suplex type move.
Yeah, and then he goes up to the top rope, misses on a flying crossbody.
By a Kurt fucking hits, mile.
By a country mile, not even just a mile. Kurt hits him with an Angle slam. 1, 2, 3. Kurt Angle has won his debut match.
And we've established the Angle slam. JR did not know what to call it.
Which is fantastic.
Yeah.
Excellent finishing move.
Angle, we already talked about the rookie year. By WrestleMania 2000, which is only 5 months from now, he was European champion, defeating Val Venus, and then 17 days after that, defeating Jericho to be the Intercontinental champion, making him a Eurocontinental champion. I loved when there were Eurocontinental champions. And in my mind, I know it happened more times. In my mind, it happened twice. And it was Kurt Angle, and it was D'Lo Brown.
I don't remember D'Lo as
it. I'm pretty sure D'Lo Brown was the Eurocontinental champion.
Like, held them both at the same... I remember him with the European belt. I remember him with the IC belt. I don't remember him holding both at the same time.
D'Lo Brown was the first one to be Eurocontinental champion. Yeah. him, Jeff Jarrett, Kurt Angle, and RVD. Those are the four.
Interesting.
Yeah, don't say this podcast doesn't teach you anything. But we are at WrestleMania 2000, and it's a two-fall triple threat match. First fall for the Intercontinental title, second for the European. It's Angle versus Dipshit, which if you're new to the podcast, is how we refer to Chris Benoit.
Dickhead.
Dickhead, Dipshit, whatever. And Chris Jericho. Wild in my brain that Jericho is in this WrestleMania 2000 match and is just still going.
Hey, he wrestled on Dynamite yesterday.
He did. He just him and the Appreciation Society, they just keep fucking going.
And he smashed, what's his face, in the back with a baseball bat, and that's how they won.
Ouch. I still pop when I see the original Jericho countdown in Tron.
Yeah.
It's so fun.
Oh, yeah. I still pop when I see old Jericho, just skinny man with the big, with the floofy blonde hair.
Blonde hair, yeah, and the shiny shirts.
Yes. Oh.
The shiny shirt was all of his money. The Ayatollah of rock and roller.
Oh, with the overdramatic everything.
Yeah, when he would say ever.
When he was young and it made sense that he was annoying and not an old dude who's just...
Yeah, Jericho going from like young dude where it's like if he says obnoxious shit, it's whatever, to like essentially like a shock DJ now, just who happens to wrestle. He's like the Howard Stern of wrestling. He's just out there saying Baba Booey. He doesn't give a shit.
Baba Booey.
So gold medals, two gold belts. Kurt Angle, the real life gold member.
The news, German.
I'm so glad you hate that.
I don't hate that. I just understood the reference. Dickhead immediately attacks Kurt, smashes him up against the steps, gets him in the ring. Kurt almost gets clotheslined by Jericho, but he ducks, so Jericho catches Dickhead with the clothesline instead. Dickhead then gets drop kicked by Kurt, I believe it was, into getting posted. Or was it? Nah, she might have been Jericho.
Yeah.
Jericho drop kicks him and he like posts himself in the corner for some reason.
Yeah, I don't quite understand why. There's a lot happening early on.
Yeah, it was weird. And then Jericho hits a springboard drop kick to both men when they're on the apron. You know, the one.
Yeah.
Kurt. When all of them are outside after this, Jericho tries charging at Kurt. Kurt gets him up for a flapjack onto the steel steps.
Which, ow.
That must have sucked for Jericho.
Yeah. We get a belly to belly. Dickhead breaks up the pin. We get a really nice double underhook backbreaker by Jericho. I was like, yeah. Okay. This is young Jericho. Modified, look at him.
Little modified camel clutch action, too.
Yeah.
Then he lets go to hit Kurt.
Which, again, triple threat. You got to stay on your toes.
Yeah, always, always. You got to be in a defensive stance at all times.
It's me, the Marcus Smart of this match.
Defense. It's me. No. In pro wrestling, you don't want to be Marcus Smart. You want to be Patrick Beverly, baby.
That's true. Patrick Beverly is a pro wrestler who happens to play basketball.
Patrick Beverly, when you retire, get into the ring. Just do it.
Let him be a manager. Let Pat Bev talk shit all day.
He would be everything that we want Malcolm Bivens to be.
He would just be tall Malcolm Bivens.
With the worst
Twitter.
Oh, God.
Malcolm Bivens' Twitter is unreal.
It's fantastic. Anyways, back to the match. Jericho suplex to Kurt. Dickhead tries stealing the pin, but Jericho breaks it up. Kurt hits an overhead belly to belly. And then there's like a weird series here.
Yep.
That happens where Kurt just kind of ends up drop kicking Dickhead in the back of the head when he's got a pin on Jericho.
So Angle whips Dickhead into the ropes. Jericho tries to go for a roll up. And instead, Dickhead sits on him for a pin.
Yep.
And while that's happening, Angle breaks up by drop kicking him in the back. And he goes face first into a turnbuckle. I thought it was, and the thing is, it's smooth and takes like 3 seconds.
Yeah, it's genuinely very good. Yeah. Kurt puts crossface chicken wing on Jericho for a while.
I really like Angle having a crossface chicken wing.
I really like the crossface chicken wing.
Yeah, I miss Asuka. That's fair. I also miss Asuka.
He almost passes out, but Dickhead breaks it up by dropkicking Kurt right in the face.
Yep.
Dickhead throws Kurt into the crowd.
He is fucking in the crowd. He is. Yeah, he is among the people.
Yeah, he eats Kurt right in the same section where the guy with his grandmother sits.
Oh, the long-haired guy?
Yes.
There are very few consistencies in my life. But when I see that guy in the front row, I'm like, yeah. But every time I see Brock Lesnar guy, I'm like, no.
No.
We don't not like you.
We don't like you.
We don't like you.
He gets up immediately on the top rope, hits a flying headbutt on Jericho, who's still like semi-unconscious at this point. 1, 2, 3. Dickhead is your IC champion.
We now fight for the European title. Angle couldn't even get back in the ring as he loses his first belt. He doesn't get pinned for it.
Yeah. So it's tragedy. It's devastating.
Up top, Jericho wants a super German on Angle. Dickhead comes up and back suplexes Jericho instead, which gives Angle the opportunity for the first time we're going to see it, and we're going to see it a lot, a beautiful moonsault. But Dickhead moves. Rude! Rude! You would just not sit there and take the beautiful moonsault from Kurt. How dare you?
It's so perfect!
It's perfect every time. Walls of Jericho on Angle, Dickhead with the breakup. Angle, this is when I realized, is really acting as the glue in this match, because he's the consistent threat. Obviously, the two are fighting each other, but Angle is like scavenging to keep his titles, right? He wants one at this point. His role is like he's obviously on his heels the whole match, and it's kind of his match to be the leader of. Well, I assume, you know, Dickhead and Jericho are calling a lot of it, but still, he's the common threat through the whole match.
Yeah. Jericho puts a lion tamer on Dickhead on Kurt for like 2 seconds before Dickhead comes through and breaks it up.
Yeah.
Spinning heel kick to Dickhead by Jericho. And then he hits the double power bomb spot to Kurt.
Yep.
3 Germans to Jericho with a bridge by Dickhead. Kurt breaks it up. And then he puts a fucking
full Nelson German suplex.
Yeah, and Kurt's shoulder isn't down.
No, it is not.
And they're still counting.
Yes, they are.
Because why, Evan?
We see some really inconsistent refereeing in this episode, so stay tuned.
Because why, Evan? Do you know who the referee
is? Is it Earl?
Because Earl Hebner sucks at his fucking job. That's why.
You know why some people, it's like I could see people being like, wow, they don't really do a lot of like WCW or New Japan. Like they do a lot of WWE stuff. Yeah, because I like seeing Javier mad, all right? I like seeing Javier see Earl Hebner.
Give me Nick Patrick. Give me Red Shoes. Give me
Mike Chioda.
Mike Chioda. Anybody.
Jericho goes to strike Dickhead, but he ducks and he hits Tim White, or he hits the referee.
I wish it were Tim White.
Yeah. Jericho tapped to the crossface, but the ref was out. Angle gets the title, hits Jericho with it while he has Dickhead in the walls. Dickhead breaks up the pin by pulling Jericho out of the ring while Angle is pinning him, which is great. And then we get the finish.
Yeah, back suplex. Dickhead misses the flying headbutt, but Jericho hits line sawed on him. 1, 2, 3. Chris Jericho is your new European champion.
And Kurt Angle didn't even get pinned for either belt. It's a good way to take the titles off of Kurt and protect him. He didn't lose at WrestleMania. He just didn't win.
He just had a broken freaking neck.
That's right. You respect an American hero. We're going to take our first break. When we get back, we're looking at Kurt Angle as WWF champion. Back from the break, Angle would enter a feud with Triple H. He got another push, began pursuing the WWF Championship, and won it for The Rock at No Mercy. And you're like, hey, guys, why aren't you covering that match?
No Mercy. Because we
did already. It was on The Rock episode. You should go and watch that. Listen to that.
Another issue that we had with this episode was the fact that we've done so many Kurt Angle matches.
Because he's been in so many good matches with so many good people. The reason that he won is because Rikishi botched the interference on Rock's behalf. Because
he was doing it for The Rock. He did it for the people.
Angle became the first wrestler to have won both an Olympic gold medal and the world championship. He defended a couple times. He would survive like the Armageddon Hell in a Cell. People remember that match because it was nuts. Angle wins that match.
I didn't know. I honestly, it's been a year since I've seen it. I need to rewatch that at some point.
That'll
be in our Rikishi episode.
It 100% will be, because we'll see him fall off the fucking cell.
And into hay.
Into hay. We are looking at No Way Out 2001. It is him versus The Rock for the WWF Championship. This is really, you look at it, it's less than a year, or it's a little bit more than a year past his debut. And he's WWF champion, has held the belt since No Mercy, which I think is, what, October at this point?
Yeah, AJ's clear, though.
Yeah. Kurtz is so fucking good. What do you think of the match?
I love this match. This, honestly, I'm going to say something pretty blasphemous here. I think this is my favorite match of the bunch.
I don't think that's that blasphemous. Looking back on it, this match, the intensity and stakes of it are maybe the best of any match, which is weird because we're including a WrestleMania match on that.
I thought the next match was the one that got me the most invested, I would say.
Okay, fair.
But I think
the ending annoys the shit out of me in that match.
Well, that's the point.
I know it's the point. We'll get there.
But this one just, it was, I love everything about it, except for who the referee is.
Fair. Also, what a weird time. We have JR and Taz on commentary. Wait,
I don't like it.
It's weird.
I don't like it.
Like, just, that's not, what is this, wife swap? That's not, you go back. The hell is going on here? I don't like this. Anywho.
Wife swap. What is this, Fresh Prince of Bel Air? We've got another Aunt Viv.
We're just going to replace the Aunt Viv. They won't notice. They're dumb. Angle tries to hit him with the title start. Rock with the clothesline after he ducks. Rock with some strikes. Clean back elbow. Really good stuff from Rock. Rock strikes.
You know what my favorite thing about this part was? Section of this match. Right before the match, The Rock is staring daggers into Kurt Angle.
Yeah, he hates this man.
This dude is like, I'm going to fucking kill you.
Yeah. Rock when he's locked in. Like, young Rock when he's locked in is nuts.
Young Rock. The entirety of his first run was young Rock. He left when he was like 27.
Yeah. And now he's old Rock.
Which is fucking hilarious to me. It's like 2004. The Rock was like 28.
Yeah. Dude was a prodigy.
Like, what?
Angle with an early ankle lock. Rock gets the ropes right away. Smart guy. Good ring awareness. Overhead belly-to-belly suplexes from Angle. He's spamming it. They look gorgeous, though, so it's fine. Rock does one of his own. It is less gorgeous. It's more of just a fucking toss.
Hey, we like it though. We like it though.
Oh, you know what we always like too? Rock goes for a sharpshooter.
You hate this.
I
you hate this. I actually kind of like the Rock sharpshooter. It's just, I like how dramatic he is.
He's Rock is hamming it up so much.
I'm gonna say something blasphemous here. Better than the Scorpion Deathlock.
Oh, okay. I thought you were about to go into Bret Hart territory, and I was
No. Nothing is ever going to be better than Bret Hart. Bret Hart had the best sharpshooter, the best punches, the best pile driver, the best suplexes,
the best brother. Rock, it's all about the flair for him. Sometimes Rock looks okay because he sits down properly. Because that's the thing, is to make the sharpshooter effective, you need to be back and sitting down. Sting's issue is he's often either standing up too far or like leaned forward too much. And Rock also does that, whereas Brett every time is just fucking sitting on it. Like, he does not care. How bad's your back? I do not care. But this one is all right. It's okay. Angle makes it to the rope, though, so we're good. Rock with a one-arm Samoan drop. Which
it looked like shit.
Yeah, it's not his best.
It is by far the ugliest Samoan drop I have ever seen. By far.
Are you sure Nia Jax has not done one? That is
not clear. No, her Samoan drop was the best part about her.
That's legitimately true. That's legitimately true, yeah.
That and the leg drop was all she had.
And she was not like most girls.
I'm sorry, it's actually not like most. gender equality.
That's true. Angle up top, head to the top rope.
Oh, baby.
Rock crotches him. Uh-oh. Meets him up there for a superplex. That's nice.
Yeah, like a superplex spot, always. Kurt throws Rock over the top rope. Rock tweaks his ankle.
Also, something is happening in the crowd that distracts everyone, and I realized as I wrote that it also distracted me. Because you just see everyone in the crowd just turn their head to be like, huh?
I want to know what it was.
Car crash. You ever hear the bit about Dane Cook, about if you hear a car crash outside?
I think so, but remind me.
Where this thing, you hear that. Shoes, where are my fucking shoes?
Oh, yeah. No.
We gotta go.
Yep.
Something was happening in the crowd that had that same reaction.
Admittedly, yeah, if you hear a car crash, you should go check for a multitude of reasons.
Yes. You know, I don't know, my first thought was stay alert, stay safe. Oh, God. Why are we doing PSAs? DDT by The Rock. And here comes The Big Show.
Well,
it is The Big Show.
It's The Big Show.
Or as he's known now, Paul.
I'm Paul.
Paul's here. Choke slammed to Mike Chioda. Unnecessary. One for Angle. One for Rock, which Rock sells just to death. And we were talking about this before we started recording. Rock sells choke slams because he gets held up forever.
Yes.
And then when he gets slammed down, he just starfishes and dies.
Dies. He looks like Patrick when he's dried out in the SpongeBob movie.
Oh, that's a good shout. Yeah, that's exactly it. So I don't know. What does this accomplish? The answer is nothing.
Nothing. Although it makes sense kind of in the story. He was supposed to be in that match, or at least he wanted to be in that match.
Right. Because the
whatever reason.
Yeah, because of the Rumble. No, it wasn't.
No,
the Rumble.
This was a year later.
Yeah, a year later. What was his issue?
I have no fucking idea.
They should let Amos start doing this. Just walk out randomly in matches. Just, you know, karate kick Dominic Mysterio in the fucking head and keep moving.
Have a stare down with Veer, but then walk away because he realizes Veer is the most dangerous man in the world, aside from Hook.
If you combined Omos and Veer in a tag team, they'd be over. They'd be over, baby. Over.
Veer is already over?
Nope.
You know what my least favorite thing about Veer is that they've done? It's literally nothing. I think he's actually fine. It's the fact that they made him a heel. That guy could have been like a crazy good baby face.
He also could have been a weird like internet wrestling favorite because of how long they fucking teased his debut.
Like, and I don't think you understand how crazy of a baby face that dude could have been. Like, there was legit, like, not like real love for this dude, but like, it was a bit, you know?
Yeah.
And sometimes if someone's over because of a bit, they're fucking over.
Honestly, I feel like that's what's happening with Ezekiel. Is that because of the bit, he's going to get over of how ridiculous it is. It might work. Anyways, back to what we're talking about. There are some refs who come out and help Chioda out of the ring because he is legally dead. Angle pins Rock, and the refs do nothing.
No. Chioda's dead.
Yeah.
Getting dragged out by Hebner and someone else. Angle puts the pin on.
Yep.
It lasts a couple seconds, obviously.
It does.
Hebner just drops Chioda. Literally drops him.
Eventually, he drops Chioda. Counts
like
two.
Actually drops him.
Yeah. Chioda just fucking collapses again.
Tumbles. While the other ref is holding him like, yo, what the fuck?
Think of Homer Simpson falling into the gulch and he's being airlifted up. And then he gets to the hot ambulance and then he slides out the back and goes right back down. That's Chioda. That's Chioda this time.
Hebner then goes back outside because they got to help Chioda the fuck out. Rock grabs the title, blasts Kurt Angle with the title.
Yep.
Gets back into the ring for the count. Kurt kicks out at the last second because Kurt Angle is the best near fall kick out person in the history of professional wrestling.
People cheer, as they should, for an American hero.
You're not even American.
I know, but he's Kurt Angle, goddammit.
I'm a Marsh American.
Ankle lock by Angle. I love this part. He slams Rock's leg down, his foot down, and reapplies.
Oh, dude,
the
that was
lock.
Sick.
I love that. Just like
that
fuck
was
your leg in particular.
Fuck you, fuck your leg, and fuck this.
Love the intensity. Rock gets the ropes, though.
Unfortunately.
Unfortunately. Angle gets spine buster coming off the ropes after they trade some strikes, and it's time for the people's elbow. Angle obviously kicks out because it's the people's elbow. It shouldn't win matches.
But it does.
I know it does.
And I love it.
Rock shoves Hebner out of the way. While he is shoved away, I also said he turned face because he shoved Hebner.
By the way, the crowd is fucking hot for this match.
Yeah, they're into it. While he's shoved away, Angle low blows Rock so Hebner didn't see. Angle then takes the turnbuckle off, and as Hebner's trying to tell him to stop, he just yells at him. He doesn't give a fuck.
Says, hey, shut the fuck up.
Rock bottom countered. Angle slams Rock into the exposed turnbuckle. Angle slam. Rock kicks out. This
which
is
a wild.
Was crazy.
I did not. Not only did I not expect it, I thought that was it. And then I remembered, oh shit, wait. Yeah, this is like whoever wins this match gets to face Stone Cold at WrestleMania.
Yes, it does. Then we get the finish. The finish happens right after that.
Yeah, the finish is Rock runs Kurt into the turnbuckle. Rock bottom. Hebner botches the fucking pin.
I didn't remember this happened. But the second I saw it happen, I went, oh, this is going to be fun to talk about.
Hebner botched the fucking pin. Kurt Angle did not move an inch. Kurt Angle was not even fucking breathing.
Kurt had entered a deep catatonic state.
The Rock did not move. Nobody moved. But nobody yet, moved. This man decided it was a near fall. The Rock is pissed. Rock is pissed. Fucking pissed. And you know what? He fucking should be.
Rock hits another rock bottom. Earl doesn't fuck this one up. It ends it. It was supposed to end on the last one.
It was such a dead finish. I was heated. I was so heated. I was like, this match was fucking glorious. This is beautiful. I love everything about this match. And then Earl Hebner, of fucking course, ruins it.
Of course. We talked about how the winner of this would get to face Rock, or sorry, get to face Austin at WrestleMania. Well, now we move to SummerSlam 2001. It's the WWF Championship. Versus it's Kurt Angle versus current WWF champion Stone Cold Steve Austin. Austin is the champion of the Invasion. He changed sides at Invasion because he didn't feel appreciated by WWF. What? He wanted to go with people who appreciate Stone Cold. What?
What?
This is also when he introduced the what chant, and I hate him for it.
I want to die. And you know whose fault it really is? Christian's.
Yes, because he called them and they did that on like an answering machine for him or something.
Yep.
They left him a message, yeah. So Austin at X7, obviously we all know what happened. He shook hands with the devil. He turned heel, aligned with Vince, was a bitch. Angle is babyface in this match, and he's fantastic at it.
I love everything about this.
Starting with commentary, this wife swap works. Heyman and JR, the best or the best?
The best, even though fucking JR hated working with Heyman. I thought it was excellent.
It's like when you hear that two like co-stars on a TV show actually fucking hate each other, but they're dating on the show, and you're like, oh, but you're so good.
Like who and who?
I don't know. The Sex and the City ladies hate each other, I think.
Yeah, Sam and fucking Sarah Jessica Parker. What are we doing here?
Yeah, what's going on, ladies?
First off, Sam's the best character. Carrie, hop off.
I didn't expect any of this.
Yeah, didn't think I had the fucking Sex in the City knowledge, but I do.
Just cool. Are you quickly looking up co-stars who hate each other?
Oh, shit, we're doing this live. They start beating each other's asses on the ramp.
They do.
Austin starts beating ass once they get into the ring. They just start trading shots, really. Kurt hits a crossbody for a near fall. Austin follows that up, eventually a little down the line here. Starts working over Kurt's knee. Bad. Big time working over the knee.
Yes. Really focusing on the leg.
Yeah. A little down the line here. Kurt gets an ankle lock on for like a second because Austin got to the rope. Yeah. After that, Austin's on the ring, out in ringside. He's overselling on purpose, limping, all this stuff, because when Kurt comes outside, he turns around and rocks him with a clothesline.
Yes. And this match takes place almost entirely on the outside.
Yeah. Which, by the way, this isn't a fucking false count anywhere's match. Nope. Why was there no count?
Just Earl. The count. Yeah, it's another Earl match. Surprises. A WWF title matches for like a decade were always Earl.
And I hate everything about it because this is the era that we always fucking cover.
Yeah, this is where we live. This is our.
Anyways, did you get your fucking list?
Well, I'm just looking up a whole bunch of people who hated each other.
So who hated each other?
Apparently, Jamie Dornan and Dakota Johnson did not like each other on the set of 50 Shades of Grey.
Okay, I was like, who the fuck is Jamie Jordan?
Jamie Dornan.
Oh, dope.
Charlize Theron and Tom Hardy didn't like each other on Mad Max Fury Road.
Yeah, I actually read something on that. They were like, they were like yelling at each other and shit. They're fine.
Yeah.
They were just really stressed.
This isn't a romantic couple, but apparently Tommy Lee Jones and Jim Carrey fucking hated doing Batman Forever together.
Interesting. They
were, yeah. I guess Tommy Lee Jones is very serious and Jim Carrey is who he is. So
I forgot Tommy Lee Jones was in Batman Forever.
Yeah, exactly. Bill Murray and Lucy Liu, which caused Bill Murray to be written out of the next Charlie's Angels movie.
Oh, shit.
And replaced with Bernie Mac.
Yeah, oh,
lots of coast. Don't worry, dear listeners. Javier and I actually like each other. For now.
Till the heel turn comes.
That's right. So we're on the outside, right? Are we still on the outside?
Yeah, we're always on the outside here.
That's true. We're always on the outside. Where are we at, Javier?
We're at the bit here after the clothesline where Austin starts working Kurt around the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gets him back in the ring, suplexes him for a near fall. And then Kurt decides, I'm going to be alive again. German suplex. Wait. German suplex. Wait. German suplex. Austin starts to fight out a little bit, but wait a little minute. Fourth German suplex. Oh, what's that? Fifth German suplex. Austin, little sign of life. But oh, wait a minute. Sixth German suplex. What now? Seventh German suplex, baby. And what's he going to do now? He's going to lift him up for an angle slam after his little baby face reaction. But Austin's a bitch. Breaks out of it, pokes him in the eye, runs him into the turnbuckle.
That is Austin being a bitch. But also, Angle's the original mayor of Suplex City. Lesnar might be in office, but Angle.
It's actually Taz. We did a Taz episode where we saw Suplex everyone.
Taz founded Suplex City, but Angle was the first mayor.
Harley Race is like, I'm right here.
Superplex by Austin, which confused the shit out of me because I was like, why are you up there, Stone Cold?
Austin, what are we doing here, guy?
And then a stunner out of fucking nowhere.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. I know we just did stunner out of nowhere, and that's very important for the people because everyone loves a good stunner.
That's true.
But the superplex, did you see how Austin landed?
No.
Homie, he landed right on his fucking neck.
Oh,
that thing looked like it sucked for Austin.
Stunner out of nowhere, like I said. Kick out by Angle. Austin gets in Earl's face, turns, and fucking stunners Angle again. And I didn't think it was going to happen like that, and I laughed out loud when I saw it. The momentum takes Angle clean to the outside.
Yeah, which is fucking great.
Robin, he runs Angle in the post. Austin wants to use the belt on Angle, but he gets stopped. He runs him in the post just a ton.
Yeah.
That's his offense twice, now.
Three times, four times. This is the point of the match where I'm like, Earl, shouldn't you be counting?
Yes, he should, but he doesn't.
He doesn't.
Bloody mess, Kurt Angle is.
Absolutely. He is bleeding like a fucking stuck pig.
Angle gets his shoulder up on the inside when the pin happens. Never say die. Back to the outside, says Austin. So many more ring post shots. Then Angle sends Austin over the barricade. Okay. A little sign of life.
A little sign of life. But then Austin suplexes him over the barricade onto concrete.
Yeah. Not great for our Olympic hero.
Austin, let me get my favorite spot of this entire match.
Talk about it. It's great.
So Austin tries to get back over the barricade. And Kurt just puts on a fucking ankle lock while Austin's draped on the barricade.
Yeah, he just, if Kurt sees a foot, he goes to town.
And then he just literally drags him by the ankle back into the ring, up the steps, on the apron, into the ring without letting go at a single moment.
He drags Austin like a petulant child. By the foot.
Like a two-year-old child at a fucking Target that's not getting a little toy.
Get out of there. Can't afford a sticker book right now.
Austin gets to the rope in like 3 seconds.
Yeah, it's kind of disappointing.
Kurt is bleeding like mad.
Yep.
It's wild. They get back to the ringside. Kurt hits a overhead belly to head belly. Then he puts on a... And then he hits a pretty, really, really looking, great looking back suplex.
Yep.
Back in the ring, Kurt Angle gets up on the top rope.
Moonsault.
Clean. Clean as fucking day.
Austin kicks out. Then we get a submission trade spot, which ends with Austin locking in an old classic.
And this little million-dollar dream for the people.
Which JR insists on calling the Cobra Clutch.
It's like, JR, that's not a Cobra Clutch.
Jim, we know what it is.
It's a million-dollar dream.
And it's a sweet finisher. Because he mentions the ringmaster, but doesn't call it by the right name. Jim, you're better than this.
Unbelievable. Kurt, jackknife pin. Basically the WrestleMania 8 finish between Bret and Piper. Yeah. But it's for a near fall. And Austin doesn't let go.
He keeps the hold on, which is impressive.
Yeah, Kurt does not pass out.
Angle does the arm drop spot. The 1, 2, and he holds on 3. And I don't know whose decision this was, but the second he holds it down on 3, the camera zooms in like a goddamn anime. It's the best. It's this just weird, quick zoom in like, oh, he's alive. Again, so great. So great.
Austin, he gets Austin out of the ring. Austin comes back. Stunner out of nowhere!
Yeah, he was stalking him. Angle kicks out again.
Yeah, stunner three attempt. Stunners.
Yeah, stunner attempt reversing the Angle slam, but Angle can't get the pin right away.
Yeah, late pin.
Angle tries another ankle lock, but Austin gets free. And then Austin turns face.
This is my favorite part of the match. My real favorite part of the match.
He just fucking right hands Earl Hebner.
Yeah, Earl Hebner eats this fucking fist sandwich.
In the words of the internet's favorite wrestler, Adam Schur / Braun Strowman, get these hands.
Yes, and I am okay with that.
Yes, I'm not okay with Braun Strowman and his whole shtick, but...
I like his outfit, Alexa Bliss's wedding. Man's look like Pinky out there with the fucking Crocs on, too. I like this.
I don't know what's up with Peppa Pig, but okay. You overstuffed bottle of Pepto. Goddamn. It's a lot. All right, so Earl Hebner's
DDT.
Yeah.
New referee comes down. What was it, Kyoto?
I think it was Kyoto, yeah.
Near fall, obviously, because it's just a DDT. Austin, low blow. While the ref is complaining about the low blow, he hits a fucking stunner on him.
And then the best part is the ref is going to the outside, and he baseball slides the ref out of the ring. Austin gets his belt, brings in the ring. Here comes Tim White. He tries to stop him, gets belted himself.
Yeah. Kurt hits an ankle slam. It's about that time. We're going to have the moment. Nick Patrick comes out. And DQ's Austin?
He's a WCW ref who calls for a DQ finish.
Also, the WCW ref shirt looks clean as fuck.
It does look clean as fuck. So Angle wins the match, but Austin retains the title. Shitty, shitty time.
Angle's eating. He's beating ass.
The invasion was a weird time. I do think one day we should do an episode just on the invasion and watch 5 matches from the invasion.
I want to find the 5 messiest matches from the invasion. Not even good matches.
One of them is 100% the Buff Bagwell Booker T match that just killed WCW.
That's not the invasion, though, is it?
It's like the start. Like to me, it's the start of it where they realized they weren't going to do WCW as its own thing. WCW. And I just want to see how bad it is. Okay, we're going to take a commercial break when we get back. It's milk time, baby. Back from the break. It's the night after SummerSlam, August 20th, 2001. We're on Raw. And Austin's here with the Alliance. He's in the ring. He's chilling. Everyone's got a Stone Cold shirt on, except for one dude. Taz. They don't make one in a Husky Boys medium. So Taz doesn't get a Stone Cold shirt.
Yeah, Taz has his own shirt. And he's like, well, you know, what,
you gotta get your own shit over.
What is this shirt? What? You don't like Austin's shirt? What? You don't appreciate Stone Cold? What?
I hate the what chant so much.
I hate it so much.
Taz is trying to explain himself. Austin just rips the shirt off.
What?
And before Taz can even explain himself, Angle is here.
Kurt Angle's music hits. It takes a little while for him to show up. Why does it take a little while for him to show up, Evan?
Because he's in a dairy truck, the absolute dork. He's just driving the fucking milk truck. Dee, dee, dee. It's great. And, you know, we all remember Austin with the beer bath, right? One of the most iconic Raw moments probably ever, right? Obviously, you know, as an American hero, as a wholesome gentleman, Kurt Angle loves his milk, baby.
By the way, this is where I wanted to shift the entire topic of this podcast.
Okay.
What do we think of milk?
I used to drink so much milk as a human being. I don't drink like any anymore. I will get chocolate milk every once in a while as a treat.
When I was a small child, like yeah. 4, 5, 6, 7 in that range, I drank milk all the time. But on the caveat that I would trounce it with fucking Nesquik, the strawberry.
I haven't had white milk since I was like 8 years old.
And I will say, milk, normal like cow milk, fucking disgusting.
Disgusting.
I hate it. I need, like, if I'm getting milk, like, I have it in my fridge right now. Yeah. I get fucking vanilla oat milk. Or not oat, almond milk.
Almonds?
Excellent. Excellent.
Show me where the nipples are on almonds, and then we'll talk. All right? I don't know how they milk an almond. You show me where the nipple is, then we'll talk. Angle's here. He's got a bunch of milk. I did not know that this was part of it. Angle has a milk crate. And it's full of milk cartons. And he just fucking whips milk cartons at the Alliance. They're all in the ring. And he just decides, I'm going to just chuck these fucking cartons. Them.
By the way, there's like 25 guys in the ring. And Kurt is just one man with milk.
One man with milk versus a whole army.
Who's the one man that runs at him?
Meat and milk. Fucking meat and dairy, baby.
Meat runs at him. Kurt just rams him right into the fucking hood of the truck. Pulls out the hose.
Open up the dairy hose. Pause. And
my man's got the milk hose. And just fucking sprays everyone in sight.
He's got milk hose in different area codes.
We've got one of the all-time greatest calls I have ever heard in my life that I do not remember at all. All right, by JR.
Hit me.
Jim Ross said, live on air to the people, the $1 million princess has become a dairy queen.
That's so good.
That's fucking sensational. And once he's done spraying everyone with milk, he gets on the truck. Smashes two cartons together and douses it down because Stone Cold Kurt Angle don't give a shit about the people.
The couple other things. I got to talk about a couple more things that we just kind of glossed over because we were excited about Stone Cold Kurt Angle. JR, I assume, you know, production meeting early, they're like, oh, we got this dairy truck. Kurt's going to come out and douse the Alliance of the milk. JR's just sitting there writing fucking bits. He says that Kurt's got milk. Like, he's just right. He's like, oh, this is his, like, showtime at the Apollo. He's coming up with a tight five.
My man probably had the small notepad with a pen. Oh, yeah. He, like, had it close to, like, his chin. He was like.
He's like, oh, this is fucking good. We talked about how Meat, Sean Stasiak, runs out and is the only one to attack Kurt Angle.
Yep.
One, can't believe that nobody else thought to just run at the guy with the hose to stop
Thank
him.
Thank you.
But also, Stasiak is down for a while. As Kurt is hosing everybody with milk, at one point, he just fucking turns to Stasiak, who is at most 4 feet away from him, and hoses him in the face with the full spray of the dairy. And I felt so bad for Stasiak. He's the only Alliance member to try to attack anybody, and he gets fucking dairy hosed in the face. Poor guy. Also, Stone Cold does try to protect Debra from the milk. Because a little bit of chivalry. He's not dead. He acts as a blocker for Debra.
You know, his fucking wife.
This is one of my favorite matches or favorite moments. It's hilarious. Obviously, like in the Hall of Fame speech, Kurt had the milk thing, and it like it's become synonymous with him.
We stand.
It's great. We stand the Dairy Queen. Okay. We're about to speed run through a lot of things to get through to our next match.
Kurt broke his neck.
Yeah, Kurt fucks his neck up. But Angle would win the WWE title at September 23rd, 2001, Unforgiven in Pittsburgh as a patriotic gesture after the 9/11 attacks. A great idea. Apparently it was his idea. And Vince was like, that's a great plan. It all worked out. Angle, we're skipping over a couple feuds. He would be in the final two of the 2002 Rumble, lose to Triple H. He would get drafted to SmackDown in 2002. He would be part of the SmackDown 6. Feud with
Romance Ed. Romance with Stephanie.
Yep, feud with Edge at Judgment Day 2002 caused him to get shaved bald because he was already balding. Had a feud with The Undertaker, had a banger of a SummerSlam opener in 2002 against a debuting Rey Mysterio, was inaugural tag champs on SmackDown with Dickhead, wins the WWE title from Big Show and Armageddon in 2002, gains Team Angle, shout out to Shelton Benjamin and Charlie Haas, and Paul Heyman as like a manager, and then defends the WWE title at WrestleMania 19 against the 2003 Royal Rumble winner, Brock Lesnar.
The Beast.
Here's a fun fact you probably know, but maybe somebody out there doesn't. This is the first ever WrestleMania main event where both men are using their real names. Neat.
Nice.
Yeah, that is neat.
Although Hulk Hogan used his real name.
Hulk Hogan?
Yeah.
That's his real name?
Yeah, Terry Bollea is a different person.
Oh, fuck off. I didn't know what way you were going with that. And then once I realized it, I hated it. But we're talking, so we are skipping over a lot of things, but a lot of those matches show up in other people's episodes.
Yeah.
There's a triple threat match like that we skipped over that was in there. Like there's some matches that we're going to be saving for other people's three-parters, like you know, Edge matches. He shows up in Triple H's three-parter. Like he's everywhere.
Kurt's in the episode That'll Never Happen, Dickhead episode.
That's right. He would be everywhere in that. What do you think of this match? Where does it rank for you in terms of like, because this is the main event, WrestleMania 19.
Yeah, I would say as far as WrestleMania main events goes, it's middle of the pack, personally.
Yeah, I think that's fair. It's still a really good match.
It's not their best match together, which is the thing for me, you know? Yeah. I love their Iron Man match. Love that match.
I do too. Maybe on a Brock episode in the future. But
Brock is getting a three-parter.
Brock is getting a three-parter. And I will sacrifice 60 minutes of my life to watch that again.
I think we should hold that off for the Iron Man episode.
No Iron Man episode. It took me a second to
Iron Man edition.
It took me a second to realize what you just suggested to me. Are you fucking kidding me? An Iron Man
30-minute Iron Man matches.
Yeah, but you wouldn't pick any of those. All right.
Yeah, Bailey against Sasha.
Tons of grapple work, standing switches, headlock, takedown by Angle.
It's all amateur wrestling early on here.
Very early on. The first non-amateur wrestling move is a shoulder block by Lesnar where it's like Angle gets hit by a car. He just drops like a sack. He drops like Mike Chioda.
You know?
That's you know going to be my new reference.
You know my favorite part of this entire match was Brock fucking Lesnar, all 8,000 pounds of him, all mass of muscle that's like literally just the guy that Plankton brings to the fry cook games.
That's two SpongeBob references in one episode.
Yep, yes it is. That's all of that from Brock Lesnar. He does an arm drag.
It's a nice arm drag.
Brock Lesnar does an arm drag.
Yeah, it's very clinical.
I've seen it all. Seen it all.
We get a nice power slam by Lesnar. Angle gets his shoulder up. Angle with a huge German suplex, because it has to be huge, because if you German suplex Brock Lesnar, he's a gigantic man.
Knows it.
He does. He just does.
And then we get a fucking fantastic call from Taz here. The Vanilla Gorilla.
Oh, yeah. like, send the vanilla gorilla to the thriller in Manila, baby. Like, let that man go. It's a lot of illas.
Anyways, Brock hits a press slam, which is when Taz called him of the vanilla gorilla. Kurt hits a German suplex to the fucking turnbuckle.
Yeah, I wrote, my God. Like, that's just a dangerous looking spot.
Someone clipped that and on the over top of it just put my neck, my back, my pussy, and my crack.
We get a back suplex by Angle for a two. Chokehold by Angle and Lesnar. And immediately I'm like, oh, yeah. Lesnar has been able to turn purple his whole life.
He, like, full body wraps Brock. He's full on big spooning Brock while putting him in a sleeper.
Yeah. He's, like, very much, like, all I can think of as he's there is Iron Man in the Hulkbuster armor. Go to sleep, go to sleep, go to sleep, go to sleep, go to sleep. Please go to sleep.
Evan, you are unfortunately not a very vertically gifted individual.
It's like, you be fucking careful where you go with it. You're right. I'm not.
Have you ever had a cuddle partner that was taller than you?
No.
Oh.
No.
Good for you.
I'm my brain is like Rolodex, like turn back the clock. No, I don't think so.
Ah, shit. I was gonna say, well, were you Brock Lesnaring someone out there? Just you could only get yourself around one half of their body.
It's me. I'm the backpack. so Lesnar is purple, but he backpack.
Yeah.
He runs Angle into the corner to free himself. Has to use two corners in order to get it done. We get another overhead belly to belly, plus a knee to the back by Angle, which is a move Lesnar now uses all the time.
Yeah.
So it's kind of funny to see Angle do it to him, and Lesnar ends up on the outside.
Back into the ring, and Brock finally gets his life together and hits a spine buster.
Yeah, then a couple of overhead belly to bellies.
Brock tries for a third, Kirk side switches, hits a German suplex, hits a second German suplex. It's a third German suplex, a fourth German suplex, and then he goes for an Angle slam. Brock counters that, gets him up for an F5. Kurt counters that, gets down, ankle lock. Brock gets to the rope. Kurt drags him back out. Brock is fucking dragging his ass. So Kurt is like, screw this, audible, single leg crab.
That's right. I like that. I like that he's just like, we can switch it up. We can do something different. And when he gets out of it, Angle gets back body dropped over the rope.
Yeah.
Sucks. He gets Germaned so hard by Brock Lesnar that he does a full flip and lands on his face. Which is... That's tough. You get German suplex and you land on your face?
That's tough. It's tough. Angle slam. A little down the line here. For a near fall.
Yeah. Lesnar kicks out. That's big.
And then Michael Cole on commentary said that he believes that's the first time someone's ever kicked out of the Angle Slam. Literally in this episode, someone kicked out of an Angle Slam.
Yeah, we saw it happen. We saw it happen. Yeah. Still Rock. Blows my mind that End of Days was kicked out of at WrestleMania.
And I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, it got me. I was like, oh, End of Days, Baron Corbin. Like, immediately I was like, oh, I guess Happy Corbin is going to win.
By the way, decent match.
Yeah. Man,
surprisingly good.
Corbin's good. He's good. He gets shit on.
Hey, you know, I hope he does well in trying to get Riddick Moss over.
Oh, you mean Madcap?
Who was over, by the way, when he turned face on SmackDown? He was over.
Yeah. Are you a Mad Hatter? Are you part of the Madcap Mafia?
Oh, I'm all about the Cap Man.
I'm Team Cap, baby.
Oh yeah.
That's what you mean, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
We get an F5 by Lesnar. I don't know why I said Lesnar. Obviously, he's by Lesnar. Delayed pin, and then speaking of delayed, Angle with a very much not on time kickout.
Yeah, but you know, you take the good with the bad.
I wrote it at 2.99. It was actually at like 3.05.
Yeah, and Michael Cole was like, "That's the first time anyone's kicked out of the F5." Now that one I can believe.
That one I believe. Angle plays possum, locks in the ankle lock again. Lesnar to the ropes, kicks
Grapevine.
Angle off. Yeah. Kicks Angle off. Angle with a small package, which almost gets Lesnar. I was like, oh shit, we're going to end WrestleMania on a small package.
Turns F5 into a roll up. F5. But Brock isn't done. Brock isn't going for the cover.
Brock's got something else up his sleeve.
Where's Brock going? Brock, why are you on the top rope? Brock? Dad?
Brock with a shooting star press, and it's not flying, it's falling with style. And
okay, I just have to say this, by the way. My man, I know he fucking spikes his head to the ground like Robert Gronkowski.
Touchdown.
But my fucking God, did he get some distance on that bitch.
Angle is too far away. I don't know if how common.
Yeah, he's more than halfway. He's almost at the other fucking corner.
I know Brock Lesnar is a freak athlete. Angle is too far away for this move.
It's a shooting star press, not a goddamn frog splash. Why are you so far away?
He's too far away. But yeah, that man Majama landed on his noggin.
Straight on his fucking dome.
It's not wild. Loopy.
Yeah, he's concussed. 100% he's concussed.
Yeah, was the shooting star press meant to be the last move?
I believe so.
Because then he gets an angle up, another F5. Lesnar puts an arm on him.
Yeah, because fucking Lesnar has no idea where he is.
And he wins. 3 counts. Kurt doesn't kick out. And those are our 5 matches. We're going to leave it at the WrestleMania 19 main event. Next week, we have some more classic Kurt Angle matches. We have Kurt Angle in New Japan, which will confuse some people. Yeah, Kurt Angle in New Japan and his moving to TNA.
Yeah, the company that he would spend the majority of his career.
Yes. And I haven't seen some of his TNA matches that we're going to watch. I've seen a few of them, but not all of them.
There's sprinkles, but not the entire crust.
Yes, not the whole thing. What did you think going back and watching early Kurt?
I had fun. I had a good time. So fun. I had a real good time. I love Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle's fucking good, guys.
Like, yeah, hot take. Kurt Angle's elite. He's so good.
He's one of the best professional wrestlers of all time. One of the best in-ring workers of all time. Just one of the most talented all-around pro wrestlers ever, period.
It blows my mind still. Because like this last match was in 2003. Other than that, all of our matches were in 2001 or earlier. Like, he is less than 2 years into his like main roster run. And he's having just classics. He is part... It's like a new guy showing up at work and immediately being part of the gang. Like, oh, yo, no, this guy's sick.
This guy knows what's up. This guy fucks.
Yeah, this dude brought coffee for the office. He can hang. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, and Kurt just immediately showing up, and he's just one of the guys, and he gets it. And, like, we didn't even touch on Team Eck, you know? Him hanging out with Edge and Christian and being an absolute goof. We didn't see him with the tiny hat and Stone Cold singing songs. That'll be in the Invasion Angle episode.
Oh, absolutely it will be.
Absolutely it will be. But next week, like I said, New Japan, a little bit more WWE stuff, some classic matches. We're looking at guys like Eddie Guerrero, looking at Undertaker, things like that.
Oh.
Yeah, good stuff. But then we're going to move and end in TNA. Javier, where can people find you on social media if they like all your nonsense?
I'm on the Twitter machine at jmellosports. Parts, follow me, please. I'm a good time sometimes. And I'm a good hang.
He's more active recently. He's
been recently tweeting. I've been on there. Been tweeting.
The dude's been tweeting. Follow me on Twitter at it's Evan Gomes, ITSEVANGOMES. Follow the podcast on Twitter at Crossbody Work. It's the most important one. Get all the updates. See who we're covering. See if we usually tweet some nonsense every once in a while. We tweet some things. Mainly because we want to connect with you. If you have ideas for who we should cover, tweet at us. At Crossbody of Work. After Kurt Angle, I'm letting you know now. We got nothing planned. It's a wide open slate.
It really is.
It's wide open. So if you got ideas for who you want to cover, tell us the next couple of weeks. Maybe we'll get one in there.
Yeah,
if
you're please like, make my job easier for me. And I swear
like,
to God.
I need a Chris Candido episode tomorrow. I'll be like, damn, okay.
I'm gonna call him the fuck out right now. Chad, if you say fucking Hebner to me.
King Chad.
I swear to God.
Actually, you know what? Another shout out to a podcast that has given us a lot of love, which is Shonen Flop Podcast. They talk about, I believe it's animes that only got one season. Or like like a super cool idea. And I know you're a big anime guy. You're a big anime guy. That's the first one that came to mind. Yeah. But I think they talk about ones that like weren't successful, hence the flop thing. They mention us a lot of times. And you know what? Go check them out if you're an anime guy. I'm sure that it's a great time.
Yeah, it's a good time. Good time. Good vibes. Good shows, hopefully.
Yeah. Good vibes only for these guys. It's all canceled manga. That's what they talk about. Canceled manga.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, I want to make sure I got it right. But, you know.
Now I'm intrigued.
Yeah. Go check it out. Go check it out. I got a long, long road trip ahead of me this weekend. So maybe I'll be listening to some on the road.
Yeah. On the road again.
That's me. On the road again. Javier, it's time. Any final words for the people? Yes.
This is what the people really show up for. They don't care about the rest.
Yeah, they skip ahead to the end. They're like, yeah. You know, cool moves. Mike Kyoto's dead, whatever. Like,
my life's in shambles. I need Javier's advice.
You're going to have your own fucking, like, doctor. You're going to be Dr. Oz.
I'm a therapist. I'm actually licensed at this point. Who licensed me? The internet.
The University the internet of Phoenix license. Online.
And not like a website. The people. The people of the internet have licensed me.
They said, no, this is cool.
Let's see. This week on Life Advice with Javier, get some sleep. Honestly, that's literally what I'm going to say this week.
Great piece of
homie advice. I had to go into the office yesterday. I woke up at fucking 7:30. I was so tired because I spent the night playing video games with my friends, which was a mistake, but whatever. I only slept 4 hours last night. I stayed out late because I had a date, and I had to wake up early because I had a meeting with my boss, and I'm fucking tired. And I'm going out to Chick-fil-A right now with a buddy of mine, and I don't know when I'm gonna get home. And I'm going to be fucking tired. And I hope that I get some sleep tonight.
I stayed up too late last night because I was playing too much Warzone.
That'll do it. That'll freaking do it for you.
And we did, but it was too late in the night.
It'll do it for you. It'll do it to you. So yeah, this week's life advice with Javier, get some sleep. And if you have trouble sleeping, I don't know, fucking talk to your doctor or something. Get that sorted.
I'm a therapist, not a doctor.
Yeah, I'm Dr. Phil, not Dr. Oz.
And Dr. Oz isn't even a good fucking doctor.
I'm not Dr. House.
If you're wondering for the exact time that we record these, just so you know, right now Bam Bam Bigelow is trending on Twitter because Kim Kardashian is wearing an outfit that looks like Bam Bam Bigelow.
Oh
my God. I implore Javier to go look at that after, but we're going to wrap it up right now. Thank you so much for listening to Kurt Angle Part 1. We're back next week. Kurt Angle Part 2. Javier just saw the Kim Kardashian tweet. He's dead. I'm dead. We're all dead. That's it. We're dead. We'll be ghosts next week talking about Kurt Angle Part 2. We will see you then.